Welcome to Know Your Risk Radio on 97.3 Cairo FM and AM 770 KTTH. Know Your Risk Radio is hosted by Zach Abraham, Chief Investment Officer at Bulwark Capital. Whether it's preservation of capital or an aggressive growth strategy, every investor needs a clearly defined risk profile. Know Your Risk Radio is brought to you by Bulwark Capital, helping families navigate the ever-changing and often volatile markets. Know Your Risk Radio starts now. Here's your host, Zach Abraham.
And we are back. Welcome and thank you for joining us for another of the most scintillating hours in finance radio. Got another great show planned for you today. I can't really take credit for it. I don't think I can take credit for it. If we've had good shows in the last year, I hope we have. And many of you have told us we've had, but that certainly doesn't mean that everybody thinks that. Can't please everybody all the time. But if we've had good shows in the last year, I really got to tip my cap to the market because it just gives you some amazing things to discuss. Look, you know, a perfect example of this. If you see some of the tumult, right, and some of the volatility that's crept into this market, especially this week, it's been nothing crazy, right? But we've seen a 1% down day or a little more than 1% down day. Maybe that happened two times this week. That little bit of that shot of volatility is coming into markets here. And it's still really hard to see which way this is all going to break. The individual stock movements continue not to make sense. The volumes continue to be pretty weak overall. And I think that's one of the hard things that's adding to this whole knife fight thing that we've been talking about for so long that, quite honestly, I'm tired of talking about. Because like I was telling our listeners on KTTH in the 3-minute opening, this knife fight, it's gotten to a point where you feel it's gotten intraday. We've seen it today where tech came out of the gates looking much better than value and growth or anything energy related, anything inflation insensitive. Then about mid-session. About an hour ago, hour and a half ago, it started flipping. Now the value portfolio started out the day in the red. It's up like 1.2, 1.3% or something like that on the day. So we're seeing this knife fight. Now we're seeing those oscillations on a daily basis. It's wild. It is really wild. The other thing that continues to amaze me, and I was again saying this in the opening session, is if you continue to look at the Afghanistan situation, China's comments since that's taken place have not been certainly not been conciliatory whatsoever. And it appears to me like China is seeing that pullout from Afghanistan as weakness, and they're pressing on Biden to see what they're going to get out of him. That's kind of my read on it. That would be pretty consistent with the CCP's actions, especially under Xi. So obviously I'm not a geopolitical expert, but it just reeks of that to me. Anyway, my point is that you see global tensions ratcheting up. You see the threat of chaos, right? And as we've seen before, that chaos is almost certain to spill out of the borders of Afghanistan. And yet, these central bank-fueled markets and stimulus-fueled markets, they don't show any of that risk. Even the price of oil doesn't show that risk. And look, maybe that's because I'm wrong. Maybe that's because of just being offsides, that's possible. I don't think that's the case, certainly not in the long run. Could certainly be the case in the short run. Like we said, I think the trickiest thing about this market, guys, is just, and I'm not advocating market timing, but I think the difficult thing about this market is I think these oscillations between the threat being inflation and the threat being deflation, my guess at this point is that that's going to continue for some time. And I think you're going to see some nasty sell-offs. Then you're going to see the Fed step back in. And stonks can only go up. And you run to a new high. And then at some point the cycle breaks. And again, that could be wrong too. I just think that's kind of the name of the game. And I will tell you what we've been doing. I'm a little frustrated today because in the last week, about a week ago, I want to say our two portfolios together were up about 7.5% on the market. As of today, it's like 1.5%. And the tough thing about it is that the reasons that it's pulled back, and again, I just shoot straight with you guys, right? You know, I'm just going to tell you like it is. The reason it's pulled back, all the stuff that has gotten hit, we're not selling it. Now, we've taken profits. We started taking profits about a month and a half ago just because, you know, we've been talking about on the radio show. You guys knew that we had concerns about the slowing volume, the end of the summer, transitioning into September. It's not traditionally, you know, the seasonality of September and October is not good. You know, market has run like a scalded cat for so bloody long now. You know, just all these different reasons. And then the other thing, that, you know, I'll go back to what we were talking about last year, and we've talked about it periodically this year, and we've gotten down there and we've seen these quick recoveries on the price of oil and the oil-related stocks and things of that nature. But, you know, right from the beginning, last October, when we were talking about, you know, we thought energy and some of these inflationary sensitive type investments were generational opportunities. Now, they're up a lot since then, and most of them are up solidly, more so than the market. And the value portfolio is still up 11, 12% more than the market this year, right around 30%. It's pulled back a little bit, too. Really, the reason that the performance, and that's the other thing that's been a little bit of a drag on performance, is the momentum portfolio hasn't performed as well this year, but there's been no momentum. It's still up 9 or 10. That's kind of what's drug us down. But, you know, when the thing, shoot, that momentum portfolio, I was looking at the numbers on that, and I didn't really realize it, but it's up 96% since May of 2019. And it was down just shy of 12 in March when the market was down 36. Pretty fascinating. We have those on our data sheets and printout sheets. We can show them to you. Got to be careful when I'm talking about performance, but those are published results, so I'm pretty sure we're good. And notice I didn't tell you it was going to outperform the market by that much all the time. But that momentum portfolio is a really good illustration of our risk management process. You know, it can get hot. It can blow the market away in multiple years. But the one beautiful thing about it is you've always got that level of defense underneath it. It took a little bit of a hit in March, right? It was down 11.5%, almost 12%. But when you've outperformed that big and then the market drops 36 and you're only down 11.5%, I mean, that's nirvana, right? That's nirvana. So, and it'll get rolling. As soon as this knife fight breaks, that momentum portfolio is going to distribute a lot of the cash one way or the other. And you, it's just the way it is. And that's kind of what we're doing through this whole thing, guys, is we started raising cash about a month and a half ago. I think between the two portfolios, we've got about 25, 27% in cash and looking to start adding on this weakness in some of those names. If you want to add here, I would just be careful. Just do it a little bit at a time. Just kind of a psychology thing for those of you that are managing your money at home. When I'm sizing a position, one of the things I like to think about is I like to find that middle ground of where I'm torn between, oh, I want to add a little bit more, but if it goes down, I'd like to be able to still add, right? I want to find that sweet spot in the portfolio where I'm kind of, because there's nothing worse than making a great call and not have put enough money into it. So you like to find that sweet spot. But then the other thing too, is you always want to give yourself room to add, right? On both sides. You know, one of the things that I didn't tell you guys about that Bed Bath & Beyond trade that we made, and I believe we did the same with GameStop. I know we did the same thing. When you get something running real hot, especially if that thing has fundamentals on its side, you'll actually lean into it. So we bought our first chunk of Bed Bath & Beyond at like $4.60, $4, somewhere around the high fours. And we added at six. I think we added more at six and we added more at seven. And that is something that took me a while in my career to figure out, because if there's something about it that feels wrong, paying for stock, buying more stock at a price significantly higher than you bought the first chunk. But when you think about it, it really makes sense. If you're really confident that the fundamentals are behind you and that this asset is very undervalued, then as it starts to break out, as it starts to gather momentum, usually that signals all lights are green. You know, something's changed, maybe in the psychology of the investors, maybe something in the company, maybe management. Anyway, it signals something's changed. And so you can lean into those. Now, if you're going to do that, you need to manage the size of your positions consistently. You know, it's like that gold position. Well, yeah, and GameStop and Bed Bath & Beyond were perfect scenarios. You know, there was you know, 2-3 week periods of times where those positions more than doubled. You know, so what started off at 2.5%, all of a sudden you're sitting at, you know, 8-9% of your portfolio value. Right. And you got to manage that size, not just because you don't want to give all those gains back. But if that position gets too large as a percentage of the portfolio, it begins to swing the whole portfolio. And that's not what you want. The other thing, too, is I love playing with house money. So when you get one that runs really hot, like we did this with Peabody Energy that we bought in the high threes a couple months back, you know, it hit 8. And we took out about a third of our money, and I think it hit 12, and we pulled out a little bit more. And so now we've got a good size position in the portfolio, but 100% of our original investment's been pulled out of it, right? So you're playing with house money. So basically, no matter what happens to Peabody Energy stock, we're going to be profitable on it, right? That's another aspect of risk management. And if you are doing this stuff at home, be very careful. Not because I don't think you're smart enough, just because, well, to tell you the truth, guys, the way you learn these lessons is by not doing it the right way. You know, in reading and being taught by other good traders, but there's some of these lessons that you can know cognitively and you're still not going to pay attention to until your wrist is the one that gets slapped. So anyway, the other interesting thing I'll say about this week in the market update is, and I was alluding to this earlier and got a little bit off track. I've been known to do that. But what's interesting about this week is, despite the fact, and I'm sure the vast majority of you are listening, majority of you listening right now, the vast majority of you probably share this fear. And that is, you know, if you took a poll out there of market participants or people in the economy in general, and you asked them, hey, what is your fear going forward about the market? Are you worried about inflation or deflation? I bet you probably north of 65 to 70% of people would answer inflation. Well, funny enough, this week, this volatility that you've seen come into the market, it hasn't been inflation that's scaring the market. Go look at the dollar index. It broke above 93. And that has been a Rubicon, if you will. That has been a line in the sand that as long as we're below 93, everything seems to be hunky-dory and just rolling along. You get above 93, VIX starts elevating, and things start getting dicey. So now here's the thing. It's hard to know if it's the tail wagging the dog, right? Is the dollar going up because deflation fears are happening? Or is there some other stress that maybe we don't see in the system that is causing the dollar to rise? Because remember, when the dollar goes up, that is a sign of financial stress. And I want to revisit this in the next segment because I think this is worth its own segment. And I had a lengthy conversation with a younger cousin of mine last night. My sister's getting married this Saturday evening, and we had the rehearsal dinner last night, had a beautiful time at my parents' home. And I was talking to my little cousin about this, and I think it's a conversation that's really enlightening, and it brought up a lot of good points. We've covered this before, but it's probably been a really long time. We probably need to get Brent Johnson back on the radio to delve into this deeper, because I don't think, for instance, I don't think we've covered this since we've had the Portland audience with us. So anyway, that's it for the market update. I want to get into what happened this week, and I want to revisit the dollar and the role that it plays and why we need to be worried about deflation and inflation at the very same time. And that's been the case for a while. And that statement right there, having to worry about inflation and deflation at the same time, is precisely why we have built our portfolios the way we have. I'll explain when we come back. Now, if you guys are out there, you listen to the show, you realize that, hey, I don't want to just ride this thing up and down. I like the comfort of knowing that somebody's watching over my money. I want to know I'm in portfolios being managed by people that can turn a 36% loss and keep it more like a 10 or 12% loss like we did last March. You know, I want to know that I've got a portfolio that isn't going to blow up in my face when this crazy market eventually unravels, which in my opinion is inevitability, right? Every market does. Doesn't mean we're going to a Great Depression, but I want to know that I've got a net underneath me. I don't want to gamble the rest of my retirement. If that's you, and oh, by the way, cut my fees massively by 30, 40, 50%, depending on, you know, what your current fees are. Guys, I don't know why anybody wouldn't want to do this. That, I mean, that's why we've designed it that way. We do. We got a better mousetrap. I'm not going to sit down here and tell you we're the smartest people in the world. I'm not going to sit up here and tell you we've never had losing trades. Of course we have. But we've never blown anybody up. And if you talk to our existing clients, which there's a stack of them that have gladly offered to be references, you would see that. They would tell you that. They would tell you they're thrilled with the outcomes. They're thrilled with what they've made. And more importantly, we held up our end of the deal last March, and they were only marginally down. You know, average client was down between 5 to 6. Anyway, if that interests you, which it should, give us a call, 866-779-RISK. Again, 866-779-RISK. Go to the radio show website, knowyourriskradio.com, bulwarkcapitalmanagement.com. You guys know the drill. Follow me on Twitter, at KYR Radio, to get in, you know, inter-week updates and pieces of research that we find to be topical. And then also, guys, remember, we put out the deep dive segments that can last anywhere from an hour, hour and a half. We've got our extended interviews. All of those are accessible through the podcast. It doesn't cost anything. Just Google Know Your Risk Radio Podcast. You can just download and subscribe. It's that easy. And then the new episodes just get emailed to your inbox. So you can know your risk every day if you wanted to, right? I'm sure that's what you're asking for Christmas. Anyway, got to take a quick break. We'll be right back to delve a little bit deeper into what happened this week and why I think it's really important and how it feeds back to a conversation I had last night. Stick with us through the break. This is the Know Your Risk Radio Podcast. Download and subscribe at knowyourriskradio.com.
This is Know Your Risk Radio with Zach Abraham. Listen to Zach discuss key investment strategies across several asset classes, not just stocks and bonds. Get your free copy of Zach's new booklet, Common Sense Investing. Go to knowyourriskradio.com.
Hey, it's Tory Monson with Zach Abraham, Chief Investment Officer at Bulwark Capital. And Zach, recently one of the largest investment banks in the country, finally published research showing why a 60-40 stock bond portfolio is outdated. This is something you've been talking about on Know Your Risk Radio for years. Now they're jumping on the bandwagon.
Dory, it certainly feels that way. This research shows exactly what we've been telling people for years now. Using bonds as the safe portion of your portfolio is a serious gamble, and now is not the time to be gambling your retirement. With Bulwark's bond replacement strategy, we'll show you how to protect your portfolio against loss, but still grow your assets. We teach you exactly how to do it in our free booklet, Common Sense Investing.
Call Zach right now to get your free copy of Common Sense Investing. Call 866-779-RISK or go to knowyourriskradio.com. Investment advice cannot be given without a client service agreement where the firm is licensed to conduct business. Bulwark Capital is a DBA of Clear Creek Financial Management, a registered investment advisor.
You're listening to Know Your Risk Radio with Zach Abraham, Chief Investment Officer at Bulwark Capital Management.
And we are back. All right. Thanks for sticking with us through the break. Now, but we're going to flip it up a little bit. I was going to get into the dollar, but it's going to take me a little bit longer to walk you through that. And especially for the new listeners down there in Portland, I don't think we've really delved into the dollar conversation. But I think it's – so we're going to do a deep dive segment after the show, but we're going to put that out on the podcast. So if you want to get it, just go Google Know Your Risk Radio Podcast. You can subscribe. You'll get the episode sent to you. Or you don't have to subscribe. You can just go to Google Know Your Risk Radio Podcast, pull up the next page. You can do it on your smartphone. Click on the link. It takes you right to our podcast page. And you'll see all the list of episodes and just hit the one that says U.S. dollar. Again, if you have concerns about inflation, you need to hear this. And I'm not going to tell you which way it's going to break and when, because I don't know and nobody does. And if they tell you they do, they're lying. They don't. They're a charlatan. And more importantly, if they tell you they do, I would be willing to bet you their performance has been awful over the last 10 years. Okay, so you got to be careful. So I'm going to lay out exactly the truth of what's going on and tell you why we are uncertain. Okay, and I think it's very prescient. And I am not an inflation denier. So far from it, it's not funny. That is eventually how we end. But why it's important, how is not when. And if you play that angle too early, you're going to go through a whole world of pain. Okay? So is inflation coming? Yes. Guys, they're going to keep printing, and eventually that ends in the degradation of the currency. It's inevitable. Okay, but if that starts occurring 15 years from now, I know inflation is high right now. Again, we'll get into this talk in the dollar. I just want to let you know, if yes, it's going to be inflationary going forward, that is the long-term threat. But when we play that is very important. Okay, so a couple questions I got asked today in relationship to a couple of things that Tobias Carlisle and I talked about. He mentioned the fact that he's always looking for companies with stock buybacks. And he goes, Zach, I've heard you rail on stock buybacks before. How do you marry that up? Okay, stock buybacks are when companies take their own cash and start buying their own stock back, right? And what that means is there's less stock on the open market. So that makes the price of the stock go up. There are a lot of companies out there doing just that. And companies should probably buy their stock back at the same time investors should. Meaning they shouldn't buy it back just to juice the price of the stock. They should keep that capital on hand for when the price of the stock gets too cheap. Right? You should do stock buybacks just like you do stock investing. Right? Well, here's the problem. There's a lot of companies out there, a ton of them, that over the last 10 years have really juiced the price of their stocks by doing massive stock buybacks. And to a point now where everybody's looking for it. And I get it. It makes sense. The companies have been doing buybacks. Their stocks have done better, which is what you'd expect, right? The supply of that stock is shrinking. However, I think a lot of investors are not in the know about what is going on with the majority of these companies. Are they buying back stock? Yes. But in order to assess the stock buyback, you have to look at compensation, especially for senior executives. If a company is buying back $2 billion worth of stock a year and is awarding senior executives $2.5 billion worth of stock a year, they're not buying stock back. They're transferring wealth from the coffers of the company into the pockets of the executives. That's what they're doing. Now, it's publicly disclosed. I'm not alleging them being fraudulent. I'm just alleging that they're reckless and short-sighted. Because there's two ways you manage a company. You manage a company based on what's best for the company and the employees and the investors and everybody at large, but also what is best for the health of that company long term. Or you're just trying to juice the stock. Over the short term, a lot of times juicing the stock works better. Look at Boeing. Now look what happened to Boeing. And go look when Boeing stock crashed. Then go pull up an episode on March 1st of 2019 and listen to the show. We were telling you that that was going to happen with Boeing. We were telling you that they were managing the stock price, not the company. And we were telling you that bad things were going to be a result. Look what happened. Doesn't mean we're right 100% of the time. But be careful when you're looking at stock buybacks. All right, we got to cut it short there. I'm going to be right back to close things up. As always, guys, if you're interested in what we've talked about, which it should be lowering your risk, increasing your upside returns, lowering your price, give us a call. Just get the knowledge. Get the Common Sense Investment Booklet. Get the free portfolio review. Just get enough information to eliminate us. But I'm telling you, we got a better mousetrap. We can do it cheaper. We can do it safer. And we can give you more upside potential, just like we've done through the whole madness of the last 2 years. So call us at 866-779-RISK. Again, 866-779-RISK. Go to the radio show website. Follow me at KYR Radio. You guys know the drill. We'll be right back to close things up. You're listening to the Know Your Risk Radio podcast. Download and subscribe at knowyourriskradio.com.
Do better in bull markets. Do better in bear markets. Pay less fees in all markets. You're listening to Know Your Risk Radio with Zach Abraham, Chief Investment Officer at Bulwark Capital Management. You can subscribe to Zach's free newsletter, The Bulwark Insider Report, at knowyourriskradio.com.
Hey, it's Dory Monson with Zach Abraham, Chief Investment Officer at Bulwark Capital. And Zach, recently, one of the largest investment banks in the country, finally published research showing why a 60-40 stock bond portfolio is outdated. This is something you've been talking about on Know Your Risk Radio for years. Now they're jumping on the bandwagon.
Dory, it certainly feels that way. This research shows exactly what we've been telling people for years now. Using bonds as the safe portion of your portfolio is a serious gamble, and now is not the time to be gambling your retirement. With Bulwark's bond replacement strategy, we'll show you how to protect your portfolio against loss, but still grow your assets. We teach you exactly how to do it in our free booklet, Common Sense Investing.
Call Zach right now to get your free copy of Common Sense Investing. Call 866-779-RISK or go to knowyourriskradio.com. Investment advice cannot be given without a client service agreement where the firm is licensed to conduct business. Bulwark Capital is a DBA of Clear Creek Financial Management, a registered investment advisor.
You're listening to Know Your Risk Radio with Zach Abraham, Chief Investment Officer at Bulwark Capital Management.
And we are back. All right, let's get into this dollar conversation because, again, for the long time Know Your Risk Radio listeners, this is probably going to be a two-segmenter, so get comfy. Pour another cup. So what got me thinking about this was the action this week. And really, the last on an individual stock basis, this has been a very volatile market for the last 3.5 months. And guys, if you're looking for answers from me exactly as to why, I don't know. I will tell you that I don't think I've ever seen, I'm trying to think, I don't think I've ever seen a market that swings back and forth this rhythmically and this predictably between one, one style box to another style box. Just this tech growth, value inflation, tech growth, value inflation, just back and forth. You know, day to day, yes. Week to week, yes. We were even seeing it intraday. Like I was saying in the open, value portfolio started in the red this morning. Not bad. I think it was down 0.2%, 0.3%. S&P was up like 0.2, and I'm sitting there going, You know, and again, I'm confident in the long term, but nobody likes to underperform, right? And I've got some clients that get, Zach, we've underperformed the S&P for the last 2 weeks. I'm like, yes, I'm aware, but guys, I'm not watching it on a two-week basis. And I don't want to get off case. I want us to keep it on the dollar. But just if you come to us or you go to another active manager and you go to them because you like the ability for active management, you especially like the security it provides if that active manager is hedging that portfolio and preventing catastrophic loss. But the one thing that you need to know, especially if you're really with really good asset managers, they will still go through periods of underperformance. It is a fool's game to judge any active manager on a quarter-by-quarter basis. Now, there are exceptions to this rule. If you've got an active manager and he is managing a retirement portfolio, and I have seen this happen before, okay, and he is down 20% at the same time the market's up between 10 to 20%, there is something wrong with that approach. Now, it doesn't mean that he's not a good asset manager, and it doesn't mean that over time he's not going to generate outstanding returns. I just don't think that that's an appropriate portfolio to have in a retirement portfolio, because the only way you'd do that is if you were extremely tactical, right? And you know, an investment. So I've seen scenarios where, let me explain. I've seen scenarios where really, really, really good fund managers were down 50% 1 year and were up 330% the next year. And the reason they were down 50% that 1 year is because they were buying things that were at dirt cheap prices. And as is always the case, it's almost impossible. It was actually uranium. The guy that I'm thinking about did this in the uranium sector back in 2005, 2006. Really smart guy by the name of Mark Hart. Great track record. But he was down 50% in a year where the S&P was up like 16 or something like that. And it was because he really believed in the trade. He'd researched the heck out of it like he always does. And he was very confident in his trade. And as the things went lower, he kept buying more, kept taking advantage. And by the end of that year, he was down 50%. And then the next year, the scenario that he thought was going to play out hit and he was up 330. And in that year, I think the S&P was up like, I don't know, 9 or something like that. So, you know, think back to the movie The Big Short, right? He produced these unbelievable returns. I think that year, because of that short on mortgage-backed securities, don't quote me on this, but if I remember correctly, I want to say that his fund was up something like 630% in a year where the S&P was down 35, something, 32, something like that in 2008. So I'm not saying it's a good thing to be down 20 or 30% if the market's up. What I'm saying is that that's not enough information. And if it's with your main retirement portfolio, you should be concerned about that approach. But you also have to keep in mind that things flip both ways. So the value portfolio is a perfect example of this. The value portfolio, by the end of the first quarter, was up 34.5%. At one point in the second quarter, it was up as much as 38.5. Okay, as of today, it's up about 30, net of fees. Market's up about 18 this year, something like that, 18.5. So still solid outperformance. But if you look at the second quarter, I think the S&P outperformed us by 6 or 7%. And what my point is that if a client doesn't call in and ask what's wrong, and I go, what do you mean what's wrong? You know, after the first quarter, he goes, well, we're up way more than the market. What's wrong? Well, that's good, right? Then why do you call in the second quarter when you're down a little bit more, but year to date, you're still up more? You know, that's why it's ridiculous to look at investment returns in a 1 month or one quarter interval. It's ridiculous. You know, think about if your advisor in the middle of 2006 put you 100% in U.S. Treasuries, right? The S&P continued up another, 20-25% from there. Don't quote me on that, but probably right around there. Interest rates climbed. So your portfolio lost money, not a lot, but lost some money while the market continued to climb. Well, then you go into 2008, and over the next 15 months, the market top to bottom dropped 63% and Treasuries rallied 21%. I know for a fact, and we've got some, I know for a fact there are people out there that if the advisor would have made that move, or the money manager, or the fund manager would have made that move in the third quarter of 2006, they'd have fired him by the second quarter of 2007. So whether you go to me or anybody else that's an active manager, and if you want better results, if you only want to be down 10% when the market's down 40, you need to understand that there are going to be times of underperformance. It's the way it works. And a lot of people don't get, there's professional investors that don't get this concept. How do you get the 330% in a return year like Mark Hart did? You buy things that have been thrown away. You buy things that people think are going to go bankrupt. Right. And when the sentiment is that bad against something, it's very easy for the sentiment to continue to get worse. So it's, because you're buying them at below their real asset value. If they're already below their real intrinsic value, why can't they drop more? Usually they do. Right. And that's kind of the way things work in life. If you think about it, right. Markets almost always go higher than they should. Right? Because that cycle just feeds on itself, and they typically go lower than they should. Same is true with individual stocks. So when people sit there and go, man, I wish I could have made 330% in a year, and go, you can. Can you stomach being down 50 to 55 when the market's up 15? And if you can't, you're not going to be up 330% in a year. You don't get one without the other. Now, like I said, guys, That we're talking about a hedge fund. We're talking about an amount of money. You know, let's say you've got a $2 or $3 million portfolio. You probably shouldn't have more than 10 to 15% of your assets in a hedge fund, generally speaking. Okay, so that should be a slice of your portfolio. Because in retirement, if you're 45 years old working, down 51 year, up 330 the next, that's great. We'll take that. Doesn't matter. But in retirement, we're living on our assets. So if we're down 50%, we're not going to be up 33% or 330% the next year, because our 4% distributions we were living off that year in retirement, right? We lost 50, 55%. That 4% is now 8 to 9%. So by the time the portfolio rallies and takes off, that year we've already taken out essentially 10% of the portfolio to pay ourselves. That's why I say that those kind of strategies, by and large, except for a part of your portfolio, are not acceptable. Because the end result isn't the only thing that matters in retirement. So anyway, I get a little off track again here, okay? So bear with me. Let's get into the rest of this dollar discussion, because that really to me is the most important thing. But I had a run in, not a run in, nice guy, but a comment with a client whose portfolio is solidly outperforming the market, and he's all worked up because we didn't outperform last quarter. And I'm sitting there going, I don't even know what our performance is last quarter. Like, how could you not know that? And I go, because it doesn't matter. Where are we at year to date? And if we're looking out months or quarters, that's a recipe to get your head slammed in a door eventually. You're also going to miss out on the big opportunities, right? If you're looking out for the next month or the next quarter, you're not going to buy the GameStops. You're not going to buy the Bed Bath & Beyonds. You're not going to buy the Peabody Energies. Now, we were fortunate enough that those scenarios played out really quick. And we've had several others that played out really quick. But typically, when you buy something that's beaten up like that, you're buying it because you know it's deep value, you know that it's not going out of business, and you're prepared to sit on it for a while. And what does that mean in a market like this? It means that you're going to risk underperformance over periods of times. So I just want to make sure that I clear that up. And I also want to make sure that you understand, I'm not saying it's okay for an active manager to be down 20% when the market's up 20%. If you're managing retirement assets like we are, that is entirely unacceptable. However, will there be times where we're up 12 and the market's up 17? Yes. Why am I okay with that? Because all of you catch up in spades when you're down 10 and the market's down 36. That's why we're okay with it. It's not that it saves us money. It's that you take those two results and we're way ahead. Managing in reverse, taking the worst case scenario off the table, and our defense becomes our best offense. That's how we've outperformed. And that means there will be times where we're cautious and we underperform a little bit. Why am I willing to do that? Because our clients' retirements have to work. We don't get a redo. Right, this isn't a best out of five. So if I know a 30 or 40% loss puts them in a really tight, bad place, we're going to throw the brakes on way before we get there. Because at the end of the day, for our average client, if they make 12% in a year where the S&P is up 17, does that negatively impact their life? No. But a 40% loss does. And this is why we talk about risk management, you guys, because it's not just you. It's not just me. It's human beings. We are uniquely bad at assessing risk, especially as it relates to investing. And it really has to do with our evolutionary development. Right? It's to identify risk quickly and run from it so it doesn't kill us. And the problem in investing is that risk is opportunity. Ugly is good. That's the tough part. And I get it. Believe it or not, when I tell clients, you know, I'm taking a long view, I'm not making an excuse. I see the performance on a daily basis. I'm watching it. I know exactly where we are in relationship to the S&P 500 every single day. But I'm not going to make decisions based on the fact that the S&P beat me the last 2 days by 0.5%. Because what am I trying to do? The goal here is to finance the rest of our clients' lives. It's not to beat the S&P. Do I want to do it? Yes, of course. I'm just not going to risk our clients' retirement chasing it. And I don't think any fiduciary should. Because when you do that, when you open the door to disaster, it is only a matter of time until it crosses the threshold. We all know this. And what happens over and over? We get caught up trying to make money when we should be trying to be defensive. And we get caught up trying to be defensive while we should be trying to make money. How many of you out there can identify with, well, I'm going to buy stocks when the smoke clears? Well, okay, you're going to pay a lot more for it. The smoke is your friend, right? How many of you can't bring yourself to sell when the market's just going up and up and up and up and every day? Right? Well, you're going to miss out on it. I always tell clients, you can't go broke taking profits. Right? You can't go broke taking profits. And then also trying to get that through clients' minds. Guys, first of all, this is a crazy world. Okay, returns are important. That's why I'm here. I understand the business. I understand what my job is. But my job is not to beat the S&P every year. Is that what we're trying to do? Heck yeah. But our job is to finance the rest of your life. So I just diverged again. This ended up being a segment about performance and how you should think about it. There you go. All right, let's Let's jump to a quick break. We'll come back and finish this dollar conversation because, again, I'm sorry I get way late on this stuff. But, guys, if this interests you, if that and guys, one of the reasons I'm so open about our underperformance is I want the clients that call us, I want it to be a philosophical match. I don't want them coming in here thinking we're magic. I don't want them coming in here thinking that we've got a better crystal ball than anybody else. I want them to know exactly what it is that we do and why we do it. And I want them to know it's not perfect. It doesn't exist. And I think the best way to do that is just to open your robe and just be fully transparent, right? Just say, here we go. Here's what it is. And like I tell every one of our clients, listen, if you leave us, if you decide 3 years from now that you're not happy with how we manage your money, I can tell you right now exactly why it'll be. It'll be because you don't think we're aggressive enough or we haven't made you enough money. Now, I sincerely hope and I sincerely think that's not going to be the case. It hasn't been the case for the last 2 years. It hasn't really been the case for the last three or four. I don't think that'll be the case, but it could. But here's why I know that'll be the reason. Because we're not going to have a conversation about why we lost half your money. Because at the end of the day, if you make 3% less than the S&P and you're still up 25% on the year or you're still up 12% on the year, you're good. What are we trying to do? We're trying to finance the rest of your life. And if we do it in a risk-managed way, we will have capital when everybody doesn't. And we will make up any underperformance up in spades, just like we did last year, going in there and buying things cheap because we were only down 11% or 11.5 or 11.8, whatever it was, right around there. And in my opinion, I'm a firm believer that retirement assets shouldn't be managed any other way. The reason they are is because the easiest way to lose clients is to underperform the benchmark. And that's what you have to realize. You have to realize that, you know, there are things done with retail portfolios that people know aren't the best thing for the client, but it's the best for the business. Well, we don't have that conflict here. You are our business. Period. We're in it together. So anyway, if that interests you, give us a call. 866-779-RISK. Again, 866-779-RISK. Go to the radio show website, knowyourriskradio.com, bulwarkcapitalmanagement.com. Guys, call for a free portfolio review. You can talk to me or one of the advisors. We can show you exactly what we do, how we do it, the returns, information. We can put together a sample portfolio for you. We email it to you, walk you through it, and say, hey, there you go. Let us know if you want to do it. No twisting arms. None at all. We don't need to. Like I said, it's either a meeting of the minds philosophically or it's not. Not everybody becomes a client. Most do. But you're not obligated. It doesn't cost you anything. And what if what I'm saying is true? It is, but yeah, I get the doubt. I get the skepticism. People come in all the time and they go, you know, Zach, I'm sorry to ask this. And I go, stop. There's no inappropriate question to ask. You're asking me to manage the money you've worked for your entire life. You should expect full transparency. You want to know the worst year I ever had? Here it is. You want to know why? I'll tell you. Right? We're going to be partners, and we'll be partners for a long time. We're not going to start it off dishonest. That's no way to start a partnership. Anyway, you guys know the drill. Give us a call, 866-779-RISK. Follow me at KYR Radio. We'll be right back. Stick with us. You're listening to the Know Your Risk Radio podcast. Download and subscribe at knowyourriskradio.com.
This is Know Your Risk Radio with Zach Abraham. Listen to Zach uncover the truth about the financial markets with simple and honest advice to help you plan for retirement. Get your free copy of Zach's new booklet, Common Sense Investing. Go to knowyourriskradio.com.
Hey, it's Story Monson with Zach Abraham, Chief Investment Officer at Bulwark Capital. And Zach, recently, one of the largest investment banks in the country, finally published research showing why a 60-40 stock bond portfolio is outdated. This is something you've been talking about on Know Your Risk Radio for years. Now they're jumping on the bandwagon.
Dory, it certainly feels that way. This research shows exactly what we've been telling people for years now. Using bonds as the safe portion of your portfolio is a serious gamble, and now is not the time to be gambling your retirement. With Bulwark's bond replacement strategy, we'll show you how to protect your portfolio against loss but still grow your assets. We teach you exactly how to do it in our free booklet, Common Sense Investing.
Call Zach right now to get your free copy of Common Sense Investing. Call 866-779-RISK or go to knowyourriskradio.com. Investment advice cannot be given without a client service agreement where the firm is licensed to conduct business. Bulwark Capital is a DBA of Clear Creek Financial Management, a registered investment advisor.
What does outside-the-box investing really look like? Schedule your free risk review with Zach Abraham, Chief Investment Officer at Bulwark Capital Management, and see a side-by-side comparison of your current portfolio versus one Zach would recommend. Schedule your free risk review at knowyourriskradio.com.
Having a long-term care plan brings certainty to a very uncertain situation. It also allows you to stay in control of your care options, and maybe most importantly, it brings peace of mind to your family during an extremely stressful situation. Story Monson, I highly recommend doing what my wife and I did. Learn about all the new long-term care plans offered by Brian Ott and 525 Advisors. Brian's the host of Long-Term Care Radio right here on Cairo. You can sign up for one of his upcoming live webinars at 525longtermcare.com. Brian will teach you everything you need to know about long-term care, including all the new plans that are available. They protect your savings, they protect your family, and the plan we got pays us back if we never use it. Sign up for one of Brian's live webinars at 525longtermcare.com. It's free to attend, and you'll learn so much. Brian's class was a real eye-opener for my wife and me. Long-term care is so important. Sign up now at 525longtermcare.com.
You're listening to Know Your Risk Radio with Zach Abraham, Chief Investment Officer at Bulwark Capital Management.
And we're back. All right. So I want to just make sure, again, we're going to do that after our segment on the dollar. If you have concerns about inflation, you want to listen to this. Your concerns are warranted. I am not an inflation denier. I can promise you that. But I am an investor. And what I know about investing means that I need to put emotions aside and I need to look at data. And if you look at what I mean, and I'll give you just a brief summary if you're not going to listen to the podcast, if you saw the volatility that was throwing markets around a bit this week, you need to know that that was dollar strength, not dollar weakness. The dollar crossed over the 93 level on the DXY. And if you look at the S&P and the DXY overlaid, you'll see that every time we cross over 93, things start to get rocky. If you're hearing people out there saying that rampant inflation is on its way and it's going to cause a stock market crash, eventually that will be the case. But you can also look at other places in the world where massive inflation made the stock market go to the moon. My point is, I want you to listen to this segment because I'm going to lay it out in terms of what's really going on and take, you know, with no edge of charlatan, right? I'm not going to talk out of school. If I don't know something, I'll tell you. But I think it's really important, especially with all the talk of inflation, that investors really understand what that means and how it's not a certain outcome. And I know it's happening right now. I've seen the same inflation numbers. But a lot of this, and guys, just hear me out. And I know some people are like, oh, you don't know what you're talking. Listen, when some of these supply chains get sorted out, the price drops, just like we've seen in lumber so far. Now, it's not back to normal yet, but they will prove transitory. Some will not. And I think that is a sign of the beginning of real inflation taking root. But the timing of playing inflation is very, very important. Okay, so you'll want to listen to this after-hours segment. Anyway, guys, that's it for the show. Like I said, if you want to listen to the after-hours segment, go to Know Your Risk Radio, Google Know Your Risk Radio podcast. We'll title it U.S. Dollar. You can hear it there. Should only go 20 to 30 minutes, but you know me, I could go over. So just putting that caveat out there. Anyway, you guys have a phenomenal weekend. Enjoy yourselves. Hopefully we'll get some great weather. I think we got a Seahawks game going on. The Mariners are high. Hey, things are hopping. Let's close out summer strong. Enjoy these last week and a half or last 2 weeks, whatever we've got. And then Labor Day, and then we're back to reality. Anyway, you're listening to Know Your Risk Radio podcast. Download and subscribe at knowyourriskradio.com.
Thanks for listening to Know Your Risk Radio with Zach Abraham, Chief Investment Officer at Bulwark Capital. Whether it's preservation of capital or an aggressive growth strategy, every investor needs a clearly defined risk profile. Schedule your free risk review with Zach Abraham now at knowyourriskradio.com. Zach will be back with more Know Your Risk Radio next Saturday at noon on 97.3 Cairo FM and AM 770 KTTH.
Opinions expressed in this program are for general information purposes only and are not intended to provide specific advice or recommendations for any individual or any specific security. It is only intended to provide education about the financial industry. To determine which investments may be appropriate for you, consult your financial advisor prior to investing. Any past performance discussed during this program is no guarantee of future results. Any indices referenced for comparison are unmanaged and cannot be invested into directly. As always, please remember investing involves risk and possible loss of principal capital. Please seek advice from a licensed professional. Bulwark Capital Management is an investment advisor representative of Clear Creek Financial Management, a registered investment advisor.
Hey, it's Story Monson with Zach Abraham, Chief Investment Officer at Bulwark Capital. And Zach, recently, one of the largest investment banks in the country, finally published research showing why a 60-40 stock bond portfolio is outdated. This is something you've been talking about on Know Your Risk Radio for years. Now they're jumping on the bandwagon.
Dory, it certainly feels that way. This research shows exactly what we've been telling people for years now. Using bonds as the safe portion of your portfolio is a serious gamble, and now is not the time to be gambling your retirement. With Bulwark's bond replacement strategy, we'll show you how to protect your portfolio against loss but still grow your assets. We teach you exactly how to do it in our free booklet, Common Sense Investing.
Call Zach right now to get your free copy of Common Sense Investing. Call 866-779-RISK or go to knowyourriskradio.com. Investment advice cannot be given without a client service agreement where the firm is licensed to conduct business. Bulwark Capital is a DBA of Clear Creek Financial Management, a registered investment advisor.
What does outside-the-box investing really look like? Schedule your free risk review with Zach Abraham, Chief Investment Officer at Bulwark Capital Management, and see a side-by-side comparison of your current portfolio versus one Zach would recommend. Schedule your free risk review at knowyourriskradio.com.